the most important, I think, of all of our human relationships, the one that's probably most like the relationship that we have with God. In many ways, although it immediately occurs to me that we're sons and daughters of God, but the incredible significance of the marriage relationship, because the marriage relationship is about voluntary love, isn't it? It's about love that has to do with a decision. I decide to love. And as I said to you in another meeting, and I want to get it worked out, you know, I start preaching sermons sometimes that I don't understand. One time, not very often, hopefully, but one time I preached a sermon, and I got all done with it, and I didn't catch on. So I don't know what the people thought that day. And so it was a Sabbath in which there were two sermons. In other words, it was a double preach with a Sabbath school in the middle of it. So I spent Sabbath school studying that one again. So I think when I did it the second time, I caught on. At least I caught on. But I'm trying to resolve in my own life. I'm trying to see what life is like and trying to analyze it. I analyze my own life and put it up against my own preaching. In fact, my preaching, I don't know if you've noticed before, is almost the story of my own life. Now, I don't always put a story with it, but it is my spiritual journey. And it's how I'm dealing with it. I don't think that spiritual things should be theory. They overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their what? Testimony. That's what we need, is not more theory. We need to talk to people who've been there. I used to look for perfect people. Not anymore. I'm looking for survivors now, man. I'm looking for survivors. And so, as I was telling you earlier, I'm beginning to think that the foundation of our marriage is our commitment that we make to each other. And that this commitment is even greater than our love, or I should say it's what holds our love up. Because love can go up and down. Or you can love without making a commitment. But I think that the precious thing about the relationship between the husband and wife, in fact, Scripture talks about Jesus' relationship to us as that we're as the church of the bride. And so there's something really special. It would be no wonder then that the devil would do all in his power to break up marriage. And as I've said to you even earlier today, I think that the last battle is fought in our homes. And I'm determined in the next 40 years of my ministry, if God gives me, whatever it'll be, is that I'm going to bring my preaching to the home. Not as Freud, not as a family counselor, but as a minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to challenge those who will hear me in my own life to let Jesus work in my home. I don't know if I mentioned last night or not. I might have at the expense of repeating myself. We have drawn an iron band around our homes that has kept Jesus out. Now, I say that for the simple reason that when we stand up and we say, you know, after church today, we're going to have the prayer warriors, and we're going to pray for Osama bin Laden, and we're going to pray that he'll be converted. And everybody thinks, oh, that's beautiful. And while we're at it, let's include Saddam Hussein. Everybody says, that's really wonderful. And I could say, shall we include our wives? No way, man. No way. I'll pray for Osama bin Laden, but I'm not praying for that woman. Shall we include your husband? Oh, no, man. No, because he abuses me. You know, this word abuse has been abused. All you have to say is, he abuses me, and I'm out of here. So anything that Jesus says about love your enemy doesn't apply to your husband. Anything Jesus says about doing good to those who despitefully use you, it never would apply to my wife. It would never, when he says, turn the other cheek or go the second mile, this can't be about my dad. Maybe it can be about anybody. This is why I'm saying, I firmly believe, young couple, going to be married someday, June. 18, did I get that right? That we've got to let Jesus into our homes. And by that we mean not only kindness, we need forgiveness, we need going the second mile, we need doing good to those who despitefully use us. Because if we're not having that function inside there, we're losers. We're losers. Anyway, here I am, I've been married for, I haven't told you how long I've been married. But you do know my anniversary date. Yeah, it's June 19. I guess I haven't told you. Did I tell you June? Yes, I did, of course, because they're getting married June 19. But I haven't told you how long we've been married. This year it will be 44 years. But I'm studying the whole subject of raising children and being married all over again. What am I, in my second childhood or something? Anyway, I think it's necessary because we're in a battle now. We're in a battle now. You know, I've discovered so many things about being married. And I'm going to tell you some stories. Can I tell you some stories? We had Valentine's Day here a few months ago. And I want to tell you ladies something about us men that you may not know. Now, I know there's some kids here that say, what are they doing to us, man? I don't want to be here for this. Let me out of here. Let me go where I can do. Now, get this. This is going to be about you too someday, God forbid. But anyway, we men are not spontaneous, girls. Now, you girls are spontaneous, see. But we men are methodical. We think about it. We kind of have to plan it. Now let me tell you how this manifests itself. For us men, at least for me, for example, I don't know what to get my wife for Christmas. I don't have a clue. I wish my wife would tell me what she wants for Christmas or for her birthday. She won't. I'm supposed to guess. Because you see, the idea is if you have to ask your wife what she wants for her birthday, means you don't love her. You're supposed to know. Now wives don't have to ask their husbands what they want for Christmas. Because they do it from the heart. They buy Kurt another tie. From the heart. It's the shirt, another shirt. It's a token of our love. But we know, I wish I could just, you know, sometimes I've even said to my wife, honey, do me a favor. When Christmas comes, don't buy me another shirt and tie. Ask me what I want. Well, if I have to ask you what I want, it means I don't love you. Oh, no, if you ask me, it means you do. You know what I did? You know what I did this year? I told all my family, I said, I want a table saw. I don't mean, fellas, the big type, Kirk. I don't mean, this big one that's just, it takes five men to lift it. I'm talking about those ones you can collapse on wheels. They're really neat. $200 is all I want. So I got my kids to all throw in their chips. I got me one. I feel so good. But it wasn't a surprise. You bet it wasn't. But I feel so good about that. Anyway, that's the difference between the men and the women. The women are all heart, see, and we're all head. We got to think about it. Well, it was going to be Valentine's Day. And so the week before Valentine's, I started thinking, I think I'm going to be real romantic this Valentine's Day. Now, I know what you girls are thinking. As soon as you start thinking of that, you're not. No, but anyway, so I thought to myself, I'm going to be romantic on Valentine's Day. So I went to my wife and I said, honey, next week is Valentine's Day. I said, why don't we go out to eat? I thought that was just, you know, that was so romantic. I couldn't believe I was saying it. And I said, why don't we go out to eat? And you know what she said? She said, let's don't. She said, let's just exchange cards. Ladies, when I heard that, I can't tell you how I felt. Now, I don't know how the rest of you fellows are, but I was a real wimp for asking girls out before we were married. I just was really sensitive to whether they'd say yes or no for a date. I remember I asked a girl out for a date. She said, no, I don't think I ask another girl for 6 or 8 months. I was too crushed. I was so sensitive about that. So when my wife said, let's don't go, I got flashbacks. It was like asking a girl out for a date. And she's saying, no, but this isn't a girl. This is my wife. I really got mad. I thought to myself, here I am, being romantic. I'm asking you out. And you're saying no to me, but I'm going to teach you a lesson. That's what I'll do. I was mad. Now, when I get mad, I don't cuss. I don't throw stuff. I just keep smiling. But my stomach is hot, man. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to teach you a lesson, woman. I know what I'm going to do. When Valentine's Day comes next week, you say you want to exchange cards, right? I'll do you one better than that. I'm not going to do anything for you. You're going to get nothing. And when you get nothing, you're going to wonder why you get nothing. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to say, you remember when I asked, I'm going to take you out to the restaurant. And you said, no, this is why I'm not getting nothing. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy? You know, we do some of the craziest things when we get mad. You know, a broken home is no mistake. You know that, don't you? Now, it might be an accident, but it's not accidental. It's a series of dumb stuff. Anyway, I was mad, and I wanted to teach you a lesson. So a couple of days went by, and I got to thinking about it, and I thought, you know, if I'm really going to teach Betty a lesson, I got to teach her a lesson. I can't let her get away with that. I know what I'll do. She wants to give a card. I'll give her flowers. I'll show her up. I'll make her feel just about that. She's going to get a card. I'll get a flower. Because I wanted to get even with that woman. I really did. I like that better than nothing. So I decided Valentine's Day would come. That's what I do. So Valentine's Day came, and she went to work before I did. In those days, her office was here. Mine was just kind of across the street, just a little bit on the corner. And so I stopped at the supermarket in their flower section. I got a little thing of flowers, something that I could set on, that she could set on her desk. And I went over to her office, but I was mad, remember. Now, she didn't know I was mad all that week, but I wanted to teach her a lesson. And so I walked up to the receptionist, and I said, would you take these flowers up to Betty, please? And the receptionist smiled so sweet. She probably thought, I wish I had a husband like you. If she only knew the truth, she wouldn't want one like me, because I was being really crazy. Anyway, she said, Betty's not in her office. She's over at the conference office. Conference office, that's where I work. I didn't see her over there. Anyway, she said she would tell her about the flowers. Anyway, listen to me. I went back to my office at the conference. I didn't meet her. On my desk, ladies, was a package and a love note. I didn't get one package and one love note that day. I got three. All day long, I was getting packages and love notes. Why do I tell that story? Because I almost got her nothing. Now, I know my flowers weren't like three packages and three love notes, but you see what an idiot I was? Do you see what an idiot I was? And later, I was preaching and telling the story, Kathy, in churches. I was telling it in churches, and I hadn't even talked to her about it. And when she heard me talk about it, she said, honey, when I said, let's only exchange cards, I didn't mean anything by that. I just didn't want to bother you, be inconvenient. But you see what an idiot I was? I was still an idiot, but I would have been a bigger one, much bigger one. The problems we get into in our marriages, are accidental, but then no accident. It's a series of stuff we do. Crazy things like that. On another occasion, back in the days when we kept Andrea, and maybe I'll refer to that in the next talk, we got to be parents again. We got to raise a little granddaughter for 5 years. And you know, when you raise a little granddaughter, there's a sad story for that that springs out of that. But anyway, I'm glad that God let me have a little girl and all that I learned from that the second time around. But anyway, we were keeping Andrea. One day, it was a Sunday, the newspaper on Sunday down in Orlando is thick. It's thick in Portland, isn't it? It's kind of a big, thick paper, and they've got all these advertisements in it. And so we have a little Sunday routine. I'll work fool around the house, and Betty gets up late, you know, and she's fooling with a newspaper and going slow and, you know, looking through everything. And so it was that Sunday morning, and Betty was looking through these ads, and I think they're closed now. You remember when it was Montgomery Ward? Remember Montgomery Ward's before they closed? Well, Montgomery Ward's had a furniture ad, and in their furniture ad, they were advertising kitchen tables. And one of them, what was particularly interesting, was one that has this white 4x4 tiles set in the top of it. Have you seen those? And then it's sort of natural wood around the side, and then it's got the white legs, and you know, and then it's got the natural chairs with the white, and so on and so forth. Well, we needed a kitchen table. And because we had had this table that we'd had before, we must have had it for 15 years. We'd raised the kids with it. It was getting kind of, the chrome was kind of coming off. And so Betty said, hey, we need a new table. And I agreed we needed a new table. And she says, well, when the store's open, why don't we go over to Ward's and see the table? I said, that's a good idea. I like that idea. Now, the stores wouldn't open until noon on Sunday. I don't know how it works now, but anyway, that's the way I remember. So we said, when the store's open, we'll go to Ward's. And you know what she said? She says, while we're at it, why don't we stop and see what Rhodes has? And why don't we see what Rooms to Go's got? Now the thing begins to get complicated. You see, I don't know about you fellas, but I just wanted to go buy the table. Get it over with. You know what I mean? I don't want to spend all week looking for tables. In other words, I didn't want to make that my life's work. But you see, women are different than we are. Huh? They want to shop for tables. We men, we don't want to shop for tables. We want to buy a table, get it over with. That's the end of that. So she said, well, we'll stop by Rhodes and see what they got. Well, what could I say? And so we got a late start that Sunday afternoon. Back in those days, you could have the infant carrier in the front seat, not like now. Anyway, so she was driving. So she's driving the car. She's got Andrea, the baby, there on the right in her infant seat, and I'm sitting in the back, and we take off. And the first store we come to is Rhodes Furniture. We go in there. They had the table. In fact, it was a nicer table than we saw in the picture at Ward's. And so I said to her, let's buy this one. She said, we better go up and see what Ward's has. See the women, how they do? Well, okay. But I'm now looking at my watch. The afternoon is going by and we don't have a table. So we got back in the car. We went to Ward's. And there was the table that was advertised in the newspaper. And I must admit, it wasn't as nice as the one at Rhodes. So I said to her, let's go back to Rhodes and buy that table. She says, okay, but while we're at it, why don't we stop at Rooms to Go and see what they got? There we go. Now, by now, I'm getting nervous. I'm looking at my watch. Hey, if we don't get this done, we're going to be spending the week at this. I don't want to do this every day. I don't want to buy tables every day. I'm going to buy this table and get this over. So anyway, we got in the car. We drove out into the traffic. And, you know, we had to turn and go back now, because back towards where Rhodes was and where Rooms to Go was, because it was on the other side of the street. So we pulled out into the traffic. We moved over into the turn lane. And as soon as we got into the turn lane, the light went red. And so we're sitting in this long line of traffic. The light is red. I'm looking at my watch. I'm nervous because I think we're not going to get this work done today. Suddenly the light goes green. When I say suddenly, after how many minutes? And when the light goes green, the traffic doesn't move. You know how it'll do? Maybe the guy in the front moved, but we were in the back. We weren't moving. So when we didn't move, I said to her, toot the horn. And she said, I'm not a type A personality. If she had punched me in the nose, slapped me in the face, hit me in the stomach, it wouldn't have hurt any worse than that hurt. Because you see, we weren't talking about personality types. We were buying tables. And she has attacked me, unprovoked. She's calling me names. She said I'm a type A personality. I felt like, you remember when we used to be on teeter-totters? And somebody jumps off? I felt like I was on a teeter-totter and somebody had jumped off. And I just went banging. I thought, I got to get this right. I got to say something. I can't just let her do this to me. I can't let her get away with this. But, I mean, she didn't know it. I was just smiling. But I'm thinking, I got to say something. You shouldn't have talked to me this way. Why did you talk to me this way? I didn't do anything. And by now, we were moving down the other side of the road. Aren't you glad the Lord's not finished with us yet? I'm glad he's not finished with us yet. Because as I started down the other side of the road, I got this thing going in my head. I got a thing going in my head. And it was as if I thought to myself, well, is it true? Is what true? That part about you being a type A personality. Well, I guess if you're going to divide it up that way, I guess it's true. I guess I am a type A personality. Then it was as if I'm thinking to myself, then why are you mad? If it's true. Aren't you praying that God will change your life? Aren't you praying that He'll change your heart? Well, yeah. I'm praying, Lord, that you'll do that. I want you to talk to me, Jesus, and maybe from a cloud, talk to me from a cloud in thunder and lightning, or maybe talk to me in dreams and visions. Well, what about your wife? No way. I don't talk to me in dreams, but don't talk to me through dirty. I don't like that. Can you see how this would happen? You know, I'll never forget what one fellow said to me one time. He said, listen to what your enemies tell you. They'll tell you things your friends would never tell. Anyway, as we rode along, I began to realize that if I was going to be serious about God changing my life, I had to hear His voice wherever it would happen. And in this case, it was in the voice of my wife. Now, why am I telling you this story? Because I'm only telling you for this reason. And that is, the next time someone puts you down, before you get mad, ask yourself a question. What would it be? Is it true? If it's true, thank God that He's talking to your heart. Isn't it the crazy things we do? The crazy things we do. You know, I'm glad that after these more than 40 years of marriage, I'm thinking about these things. I'm trying to understand. I've come to the conclusion that while I can't solve a problem that my wife has, let's say she has a problem, I can make it worse. You know, one day I was sitting in my office, and my wife came to the door of my office. I was working on a computer, Kurt. What do we do on a computer? You know, I don't know what we do. Just does the computer. And so she came to the door of the computer, to my office, and started talking to me. Now, I don't know, ladies, how you do it. I don't know how women take a story this long. They can take a 2-minute story and make it last 15 minutes. All the details. Stretch it out. Make it. Now, ladies, I want to tell you something about us men. When we men talk, we get to the point. But when the women talk, they never get to the point. At least that's the way we figure. And so there she was. I'm sitting there, and I was in the computer, you know, doing whatever I was doing, and she's talking to me. And I'm thinking, what's the point? Get on with it. You know, what is it? Tell me what you need. Tell me what the problem is. You see, this is another problem, another thing that I've learned about us men. Us men, ladies, are problem solvers. Ladies, don't talk to us unless you want to have your problem solved. Because that's the way we are with each other. We'll solve your problem for you. But you see, one thing I've learned, fellas, women don't want their problem solved. They just want to talk to you. They just want you to listen to them. Just listen to me, honey. And as I sat there, I did this thing in my head. I had this, she never knew it happened. I'm sitting there, she's talking to me, I'm thinking, get on with it, hurry up, what you trying to tell me? And suddenly I caught myself. And I said, Dick, you idiot, stop it. This woman is simply sharing her life with you. Because sharing life is not snuggling. That's what it is to us, brother. It's giving time. Time. And this is what I've realized at this point in my life, because us men are, we're talking, we're, get to the point, what's the problem? Do this, do that, do that. But a woman, she's not interested in that. She just wants to talk and tell you what to do. So I'm really conscious of this these days, fellas. That I want to listen to Betty, because I talk to people on the job, don't I? You know, we can sit down, us fellas in the office, we just jam, and man, we just talk and talk and talk. The little lady comes home, get on with it, get to the point. What you talking to me about? You know, I want to get past that, fellas. And I haven't really overcome it all yet, but I'm very conscious of it now, very conscious of it. One day, I came home from work. Aren't you women glad that your husband's not like me? I'm just making my confession. I feel so much better now that I'm making confession. But some of us men are a little bit the same. Just a moment. And I want to tell you one more story. One day I came home from work, and Betty was sitting on the couch, and I just walked past. I said, "Hi, how you doing?" And I turned around, and I could see she'd been crying. And then I turned around and I said, "What's wrong?" This happened not that long ago. She said, "Baby Cake died." Now let me tell you about Baby Cake. Baby Cake was our parakeet. Baby Cake was a little parakeet that we got when Andrea was just a little baby. Baby Cake could talk. Baby Cake could say, "My name is Baby Cake. I'm a silly bird. Happy Sabbath." Now, he sounded better than that, but anyway, I was trying to do parakeet talk. Anyway, so I had noticed in the last 6 weeks or so that Baby Cake wasn't right, you know, because Baby Cake was so nice and no problem, but lately we'd stick our hand in there, he'd kind of try to bite it, you know, he wasn't talking anymore. And now I come home, and Betty says, "Baby Cake died." You know what I did, fella? I went to my computer, Kurt, turned it on, went to Internet Google. Google, you know, knows everything. If you have any questions, Google has the answer. I went to Google. I typed in the word parakeet lifespan. Are you with me, Tom? Then, in less than 5 minutes, Google went all around the world to look up my answer and gave me my answer. 5 minutes or less later, I shout back in to my wife, "How old was Baby Cake?" She says, "9. I said, "It says here they're only supposed to live 8.5 years. What's the message? The message is, wipe the tears off your eyes, woman. You got 6 extra months you didn't deserve. Stop crying. What you crying about? Live longer than it was supposed to. You know, I feel real bad about that. I really do. I really do. You see, it isn't how long. I mean, what if it had been 50 years old, Fred? Betty was crying, and she needed to be comforted. But not my mind. And you got 6 months you didn't buy. Just get used to it. But that's not right, fella. That's not right. We can do. I'm not trying to talk us men down, because you women have some problems too. I've read about them in the Bible. Yeah. You've got some problems. You know one thing about women? Awful hard time forgiving. You know, we men can actually fight a world war, sign the peace treaty, and start doing business the next day. You have a world war with a woman, and that's forever. That's forever. Women have a problem of forgiving. They're carried a long, 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 long time. Anyway, but I'm talking about men. I can talk about it because I know. I want to be a man who is more compassionate. A man who will listen to my wife. who doesn't need to solve any problems, but can just give her the time of day, who can comfort her. You know, I think back about being a parent, and I may mention this in the next round. I remember, in fact, it was when we lived in Seattle, out at Auburn Academy. Our people live in Florida and in Virginia in those days. And so we would drive across the country with the six of us. I remember one day getting in the car. We were somewhere on the trip. We stayed in a motel. We got in the car and took off, and one of the children began to cry. And I said, "What are you crying for?" "Well, I left my teddy bear on top of the car. It's fallen off. Let's go back and get it." Not me. I was in a hurry. Hurry for what? "Well, we can't find it anyway." You know, I hate myself for that. In other words, wipe the tears off your eyes, you idiot. You left it on the car. And I didn't say that. But why didn't I stop the car and go back and find the teddy bear? I feel bad about that. Now, I can't live my life over again, fellas. I can't. But when I look at those kinds of things, I can say, listen, I can't go back and be 30 years old again. I can't even go back and be 45. I'm 63 now. I want to pick up as a 63-year-old person who's sensitive, who's compassionate, and who's forgiving. We can do that, fellas. And to you too, girls, I don't know what your problems are, though I read about them in the Bible. But this is the thing about the gospel. The gospel doesn't run you backwards, but you need to look back. You know, when we drive our car, we have to have a rearview mirror to see where we've come from. That keeps us from making them. To err is human, not to admit it is dumb. The problem wasn't in making the mistake. The problem is to keep making it. So I've made mistakes in my life, but I want at this stage in my life to know, pretty well have an idea of what, I haven't figured them all out, probably crush me. But the Lord is showing me in my conscience, sort of one at a time. I haven't arrived, but I'm trying to get at them now because I don't like it. I don't want to be this kind of a husband and a father and a grandfather. I want to be, you know, I would like to be, and sometimes I pray to God, "God, I want to be your boy, in whom you're well pleased." And for you two girls, wives and mothers and grandmothers, we want to be his children, sons and daughters, in whom he can say, "See them there, see my daughter down there, that's my girl, in whom I am well pleased." Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord, for our marriages. Though for some maybe it went bad, and it wasn't the way that it ought to have been, we're thankful that in Jesus we can get a new start. We're thankful for his forgiveness and for his kindness. And Lord, as I look into my own life, I think of my unkindness. And I feel bad about that. And oh, Father, remind me, and if there are others here like me, insensitive and impatient. Lord, we want this behind us, that we can be truly your sons and your daughters in whom you are well pleased, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.